Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. The first reading comes from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. The psalm is the famous Lord's My Shepherd, the 23rd psalm. The second reading then comes from the first letter of Peter in chapter 2. And the gospel is John's gospel, verses 1 to 10, starting off with the image of Jesus as the gate, and then he moves in at the end of today's gospel into being the shepherd, the good shepherd. Now, Jesus uses imagery, very often it's a lot of agricultural imagery, to talk to the disciples, to lead them into a deeper understanding. So, as the Son of God, as the Saviour of the world, the Redeemer, he needed to present himself in a way that would bring closer to earth and to the lived experience of the disciples. He needed to bring to them a simplistic language in a way that would help them understand who he was and what it is that he is trying to achieve in the world with them and through them eventually. And of course, it is that achievement with and through that affects us and draws us into a relationship with Jesus. In John's Gospel, he uses seven images to describe who he is to help the disciples understand. He says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep." That's today's gospel. Then he goes on, "I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in chapter 15 he says, "I am the true vine." Now, each of those images we could relate to depending on what's going on in our life at a particular time. And most of us are not agricultural people, and so the image might not land comfortably at first. But when we start to talk about the relationship that we have or are trying to have with God, and we use those images, we can then, I think, help the fog lift a little bit on the mystery of who Jesus is. His voice is what is truly important in understanding who he is. So we ask ourselves, who is Jesus for us? And what do we hear his voice saying back to us? An image of a gate doesn't really cut it for most of us, because gates are nothing to us as a rule. But when we understand it in the agricultural context, of that is the place where the sheep have to go into, or through rather, to get into a safe place to be locked up in the evening, and then that is the place that they go out of the next day to be led to good pasture. Well, then that makes a little bit more sense, but probably less so if we have no experience of sheep or shepherding, let alone sheep or shepherding in the Middle Eastern sense. So the gate might be a little bit difficult for us to understand. But when we hear the image of a shepherd, that gets a little easier, because we now, most of us, understand the role of a shepherd and the way in which shepherding was done in Jesus' time. Some of you may recall me telling you that shepherds were not seen as very good people. Mostly they were regarded as thieves and brigands amongst the working class. So when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he's really making a point there about those other people, which would be the religious leaders particularly, but let's just say leaders, those other people who have led people into the sheepfold, into what is supposedly a safe place, have really misguided their people. And the leadership that they have offered is not good, is not healthy, is not wholesome, and it doesn't lead to the things that the Good Shepherd is trying to promise and give by example to his people, his flock. And that's why later on Jesus goes on to say, I'm the Good Shepherd. I'm not the bad leader. I'm not the bad shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. You come to me through the gate, you will understand that I am the gate. So whoever comes to me has security. Whoever comes to me will have life and have it to the fullest. Abundance is the word that is used. That's why he uses the image of the gate. So there's a bit of a clash of images today in John's Gospel, a bit of shepherding going on, and there's a bit of building structure there, the gate as well. But really try to put your mind, if you can, into what is behind the image. When we hear Jesus' voice say, I am, be it light for the world, the true vine, the bread of life, the way, the truth and life, when we hear that imagery, I am, ask ourselves, who is Jesus for us today? We should be able to hear his voice a little more clearly in these days of lockdown, when we have less noise around, not less clanging around in our life for most of us, unless, of course, we're locked up with the kids who have gone stir crazy by this stage. And then we're probably hearing the voice of Jesus, I hope, say, just calm down. Just be a mum. Calm down. Just be a dad. It'd be lovely if the kids could hear, hey, just calm down. Just be a child. That would be a good thing. For those of us who live alone, mostly we don't have to be told to calm down. We are listening, I know I am, for where is the good? Where is the compassion? Where is the light out of all of this darkness that surrounds us at the moment? Where is that, and how can I shine that in people's lives? That's what I'm looking for and what I'm listening for. And luckily, in my role as a shepherd to the flock in this parish, in my parish here, I have lots of opportunities where I see Jesus as the light of the world, as the bread of life. There are lots of opportunities, even in these strange days. Like today, I'm spending so many hours with a young family who are watching their father die unexpectedly. And they've got two young children and a young mum, and dad's dying of natural causes. But it's such a tragedy. And so I'm sitting there with them, and I'm listening and reflecting on this gospel, but it's Jesus' voice that I am waiting to hear. And so things like the bread of life, when I am there, I can present Jesus as the bread of life. I can present Jesus as hope. This young man has lived his life trying to go through the gate to meet Jesus, the Good Shepherd. It's interesting, I think, that as we reflect on the course of our life, particularly right at the beginning of our life and then right at the end of our life, how important a voice is. When a child is screaming and crying and carrying on, as children can, it is very often the voice, the calming, soothing voice of a mother that brings peace to a disturbed child. And then as we get older and we get a little bit disoriented, we get a bit confused at times and perhaps a little bit distressed in our old age, it's the comforting voice of a friend or a nurse or a carer that settles us back down again and reassures us. The voice is so important in those times in our life when we are not feeling particularly good about the world or ourselves. And if that's the case for us at the moment, listen to the voice of Jesus, who brings us comfort. And then as each of us ponder, and perhaps some enter towards the end of our life, it is my prayer that we will hear Christ's voice, soothing, reassuring, comforting, and confident. It's our prayer that at that moment when we are challenged with death, that we have reflected and tried to to live a life, all of our life, listening to that voice. It is my prayer for the young man that I've been with, but my prayer for all of us, that as we come to that stage in our life, that we will hear Jesus' voice and that we will be able to walk straight toward it. And that will be life then, and that will be life lived abundantly. May God bless you, those whom you love in this life, and those whose voice brings you comfort and peace and reassurance in the stillness of these days. God bless you and those whom you love, as always. Amen.